Susan was having a lot of problems trying to sell her old car because it had 250,000 miles on it. One day she told her problem to her friend who said, "You know, there's a way to make the car easier to sell, but it's probably not right, and I'm certain it's not legal." "That doesn't matter," Susan whispered. "If only I can just sell this car." "Okay," Susan's friend said. "Consider this a gift. Here's the address of a friend of mine. He owns a car repair shop. Tell him that I sent you, and he will turn your odometer in your car back to 50,000 miles. Then you shouldn't have a problem selling your car." Well, Susan decided to follow her friend's advice. She quickly made the trip to the mechanic, and 2 weeks later, her friend saw Susan and asked her. She said, "So, did you sell your car?" Susan replied, "No. Why should I? It only has 50,000 miles on it." Gosh, the first service really liked that one. I'm not pitting one against the other. I'm just saying. Someone once claimed that, quote, "The secret of contentment is the realization that life is a gift, not a right." Now, we like contentment, and we like our gifts. We understand this. Just came through Father's Day. I just had a wedding. Just got to marry Cole and Melissa. And Melissa, I don't know if you know this, but Melissa's mom and dad, as a wedding gift, gave me a Starbucks gift card. Oh, that was wonderful. I really appreciated that. Father's Day was a great time. Got some great gifts. Two of my favorites were I got an NFL football preview magazine. I also got my college football preview magazine. Two gifts that I really wanted, was so excited about. We like our gifts. And you know, God's word has something to say about that word gift. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read from a book we rarely read from. Here's Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20. Listen to what Solomon says, and listen for that word gift. "Well, one thing at least is good," says Solomon. "It is for a man to eat well, drink a good glass of wine, accept his position in life, and enjoy his work, whatever his job may be, for however long the Lord may let him live. And of course, it's very good if a man has received wealth from the Lord and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life, that is indeed a gift from God. The person who does that will not need to look back with sorrow on his past, for God gives him joy." Now, here's something we can ascertain from that passage. We know that God gives a gift. One of those gifts is laid out by Solomon. Solomon would understand that gift. He had experienced all those things that he had mentioned, so he was an expert in that field. But let me ask you this. How often do we thank, praise, worship, and fellowship with God for being the giver of the gifts of life? Now, you heard that correctly, and I know you may never have heard that before. Oftentimes, we talk about the gift of life. We're reminded how incredibly important the gift of life is. You can see it through charitable donations, organizations. Certainly, we see it in the various things that we encounter in our lives, but rarely will you hear that referenced in a plural sense. You might not have ever heard someone say that there are gifts of life. Let me ask you this. What are those gifts? And how do we respond to the giver? This poem, offered through the eyes of an innocent child shortly after the 9/11 attacks, might open our eyes and give us just a little bit of insight. Here's what it says. "Her hair was up in a ponytail, her favorite dress tied with a bow. Today was Daddy's day at school, and she couldn't wait to go. But her mommy tried to tell her that she probably should stay home, why the kids might not understand if she went to school alone. But she was not afraid. She knew just what to say, what to tell her classmates of why he wasn't there today. But still her mother worried for her to face this day alone, and that was why once again she tried to keep her daughter home. But the little girl went to school eager to tell them all about a dad she never sees and a dad who never calls. There were daddies along the wall and back for everyone to meet, children squirming impatiently, anxious in their seats. And one by one, the teacher called a student from the class to introduce their daddy as seconds slowly passed. At last, the teacher called her name, and every child turned to stare. Each of them was searching for a man who wasn't there. 'Where's her daddy at?' she heard a boy call out. 'She probably doesn't have one,' another student dared to shout. And from somewhere near the back, she heard a daddy say, 'Looks like another deadbeat dad, too busy to waste his day.' The words did not offend her as she smiled up at her mom and looked back at her teacher, who told her to go on. And with hands behind her back, slowly, she began to speak. And out from the mouth of a child came words incredibly unique. "My daddy couldn't be here because he lives so far away, but I know he wishes he could be, since this is such a special day. And though you cannot meet him, I wanted you to know all about my daddy and how much he loves me so. He loved to tell me stories. He taught me to ride my bike. He surprised me with pink roses and taught me to fly a kite. We used to share fudge sundaes and ice cream in a cone, and though you can't see him, I'm not standing here alone. Because my daddy's always with me. Even though we are apart, I know because he told me he'll forever be in my heart." And with that, her little hand reached up and lay across her chest, feeling her own heartbeat beneath her favorite dress. And from somewhere in the crowd of dads, her mother stood in tears, proudly watching her daughter, who was wise beyond her years. For she stood up for the love of a man not in her life, doing what was best for her, doing what was right. And when she dropped her hand back down, staring straight into the crowd, she finished with a voice so soft, but its message clear and loud. "I love my daddy very much. He's my shining star. And if he could, he'd be here. But heaven's just too far. You see, he was a fireman and died just this past year when airplanes hit the towers and taught Americans to fear. But sometimes when I close my eyes, it's like he never went away." And then she closed her eyes and saw him there that day. And to her mother's amazement, she witnessed with surprise a room full of daddies and children all starting to close their eyes. Who knows what they saw before them? Who knows what they felt inside? Perhaps for merely a second, they saw him by her side. "I know you're with me, Daddy," to the silence she called out. And what happened made believers of those once filled with doubt. Where does that kind of contentment come from? I mean, how could someone secure that kind of peace and perspective amidst that mount of adversity? And we know this, that it can only come from God Almighty. David said in 1 Chronicles 29:15, he says, "For we are here but a moment, strangers in the land, as our fathers were before us. Our days on earth are like a shadow gone so soon without a trace." James said in James 4:14, "For the length of your lives is as uncertain as the morning fog. Now you see it. Soon it is gone." How do we view our lives? Do we see it as a series of gifts provided by God Almighty? Or do we see it as a collection of rights that every day we exercise, oftentimes bitterly and usually selfishly? You see, for that little daughter who lost her father, she exercised her right to do what was right, which was not to bitterly, but rather contentedly recognize God as the giver of all gifts of life. Now that little girl grasped and clung to the gift of eternal life. But that's not the only gift. Let's look at our brief sermon text today. It comes from James 1:17. I'm going to read from the New International Version. Folks, listen to these words. Listen to what James has to say. There's a key word in this passage. We're going to pick up that key word in just a bit. Here's what he says. He says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Now that key word is the word known as every. You see, that word every is extremely important because God's word tells us that God gives us more than one gift in this life. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that news. I like knowing that I'm going to have more than one gift in this life. When we were growing up, we grew up in a little mobile home out in the middle of nowhere, and my dad had the opportunity to buy a farmhouse, large farmhouse, very nice farmhouse. And my brother and I were so excited because it was such a huge transition from a small mobile home to this large two-story massive farmhouse. And we loved this farmhouse. We had these large bedrooms. There was so much fun in this farmhouse. But one year, I think it was probably the first year we were there, It was Christmas time, and it was either first, second, third year we were there, but I think it was the first year. So my brother and I came down, we're probably 10 and 12 years old, and we come prancing down the stairs, and we couldn't wait because it's Christmas morning. And we come down, and our living room in this farmhouse, our living room is separated by the sliding door from our dining room. And we had really not seen this sliding door, but on this particular day, we came downstairs, and the sliding door was shut. This old wooden antique sliding door was shut. And my brother and I were so excited because we didn't know what was behind this sliding door, but we guessed it was pretty good. And so we were like this. I mean, we're like, come on, Mom and Dad. And my mom and dad slowly slid open the door. And we were so excited because when they slid open the door, there was this sea of gifts just cascading from the tree. And my brother and I like the lights were coming down. The angels were like, whoa. And my brother like, gifts. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If there was one gift, it wouldn't have been as shocking and surprising, but there's so many gifts. And I know that this is what God wants from us. You see, God wants us to do the same thing. God wants us to stand in front of the door of His grace and mercy and compassion, and He wants us to stand there and look at Him and say, gifts! And He wants us to be grateful, and He wants us to be thankful, and He wants us to be excited about how bountiful He is. And so often we look at this and say, gifts? What do you mean gifts? God gives gifts? Folks, God gives us a lot of gifts. And He wants the same response like we have when we see a lot of gifts, especially in our youth and early childhood. Let me share with you some of these gifts today. And folks, I hope that you'll be excited as much as I am about these gifts. Let's start with the elementary version. The first one, it's very obvious. God gives us, number one, the gift of life. Job 33:4, Elihu says, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Let's go all the way back. Genesis 2:7, "The Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Paul said in Acts 17:25, "The Lord gives life and breath to everything." You see, your life, created by God, is a gift. It's a gift to Him. It's a gift to all of them. And even when we can see it as a gift, we see that it came from Him. We have no right to take it. We have no right to abuse it. We have no right to misuse it. We have no right to selfishly live it. Rather, we must do what is right, and glorify Him, and bring others to Him through it. He created it. He's the giver. And your life is a gift given by God Almighty. And He wants you to spend this gift doing what is righteous before God Almighty. In essence, life is a gift given by God and not a series of rights that are godless in nature to be exploited by man. And we do this, don't we? We exercise our rights daily. Sometimes we do it unrighteously. Regarding his or her life, man has a choice of either saying, "I have the right to do whatever I want," or he or she can say this, "I must do what is right, and I must do what God wants." How do we view and what do we do with our lives? Now, there are a lot of people, and I'm guessing there are people in this church today that say this, "My life is awful, horrible, despicable, deplorable, bad, really bad." And I get that. I get that. See, a lot of people walk around and they say, "I hate my life. It's terrible. I can't believe God gave me this life. It's awful." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God doesn't give bad gifts. God doesn't even give gag gifts. Many gag gifts are bad gifts. He doesn't do it. You're not a bad gift and you're not a gag gift. You are God's gift. And your life is a gift. It is a gift to impact all of them. And it's a gift to glorify Him. And if you say, "My life is horrible, awful, deplorable, despicable," God says, "No, it's not, because it came from me. It's a gift from me. And you need it. And I ask you to use it to impact and help all of them." We oftentimes exercise our rights oftentimes willingly and unrighteously. Let me ask you this. But what is the difference? Well, according to Webster, a right is a power or privilege belonging to one by law. A gift is a present given by love. A right is a privilege granted upon request. A gift is a present given without request. Rights evoke power. Gifts elicit praise. The word gift has its roots in theology. The word right has its roots in legality. How do we respond to this gift? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible claims that, quote, because God is a source of life, it is a gift from Him. He first filled Adam with the breath of life, and He continues to be the source of all life. Ironically, our living, loving, breathing, serving life is not the only gift that God gives. Remember Ecclesiastes 5:20? Remember we read that earlier? I'll read it again. It says, to enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life, that is indeed a gift from God. The person who does that will not need to look back with sorrow on his past, for God gives him joy. Are we joyful? Are we joyful about our work in life and our lot in life? I'm guessing most people aren't. I talked to someone the other day, I won't mention where they work, but I bet you can guess. I was talking to someone, I said, so where do you work? I said, I work here. Not surprising. And I said, do you like it there? And he said, no, I hate it. I said, like, really hate it? Oh, yeah. Every day I dream, when I go to my cubicle, every day I dream of leaving and never coming back. I said, wow, that must be a bad place to work. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Now I'm going to bring up this, and I'm going to share this, and we'll see what you think about this, because God says, and according to His Word, that our work in life and our lot in life is a gift from God that's supposed to impact our lives. And what that means is that we can look at this, if we look at where we work and how we work and when we work, and we also look at our lives and what we have in our lives and how it works, we need to look at this and say this, and it's not easy to say this, this is a gift from God. Although it doesn't feel like that oftentimes. It is a gift from God that has been blessed by His Son Jesus. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know it is not within the power of man to map his life and plan his course. Since God gave us this life as a gift and our work and our lot in life as a gift, shouldn't we accept them and spend them glorifying Him? Someone once said that, quote, sometimes we're so busy adding up our troubles that we forget to count our blessings. I think that's accurate. Is our job or career in our lives and lot in life viewed and accepted as a gift from God? You see, joy comes when we see them this way or when we choose to seek God's counsel in our work and our lot in life and initiate a job or life change. And I want to talk about this. Because, folks, if you say, I don't know how you can do it because my life is horrible, I don't have a lot in life, and my work is terrible, and I'm going to tell you that oftentimes we create our lot in life, and oftentimes we create our own terrible work lives because we don't listen to God. You see, if God is the giver of all gifts, if He's the one that said, I'm going to make you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you life. In many cases, it's because throughout our lives, we have made decisions without God. And in many cases, we get into a work situation, a life situation, we're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't involve God. Maybe that's why my work in life, career in life, and lot in life just doesn't feel like a gift from God. Folks, I can tell you this. You are not restricted to your work in life, your career in life, your lot in life. All you're restricted to is this, that you've got to get God in your life. And He may say this, it's time today to make a change, a job change, a life change, a career change, a work change. But at the end of the day, you've got to seek God's counsel to help you make that change. Why? Because God has got a gift for you in your work life and in your lot in life. What are our other God-given gifts in this life? The psalmist said in Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from God. They are His reward. Your kids are God-given gifts. I do not need to tell Dan and Laura Vollmer that their kids are gifts. They know it. They didn't think they were going to have kids. By all accounts and measures, they weren't going to have kids. And God says, Dan and Laura Vollmer, I've given you life. I've given you your lot in life. I've given you your career in life. But now I'm going to give you kids in your life. And they see those kids as gifts. For those of you who have struggled, for those of you who have gone through difficult times with your children, I can tell you this. It doesn't change the fact. Your kids are gifts. You should have heard the first service. Those people were dying laughing. You're kidding me, right? They don't feel like gifts. They're gifts. Every single night, every night I walk down our hallway, I have two little girls sleeping. Jade always with her knees. How do you sleep with your knees up? That's how she sleeps. Jillian's got every single apparatus that you can possibly imagine in her bedroom, going fan, sound machine, lights, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. But I walk in. They're so diversely different. I walk in. I stick my head into one room. I stick my head into the other room. And then I stop, and I bow my head, and I say, thank you, God, for these girls. They are gifts. Every night. I don't know what happens when they move out. That's going to be odd when I have to stick my head into an empty room. But for now, that's what I do. Because my kids are gifts. That's what they are. See, God's word tells us this. Do we see our children as gifts that are God-given? In our parenting and child-rearing, do we selfishly cling to worldly rights? Or do we raise our children, God gifts, based on what his word says is right? There's a difference. You see, if you see your kids as a gift, you're going to say this. You're going to say, you know what? I know I've got the right to do what I want to do, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what God says is right and what he wants me to do. That's what we're supposed to do. When you see your kids as a gift, you'll protect that gift. William Lloyd Garrison once said this, wherever there's a human being, I see God-given rights in that being. Parents, our God-given rights are to do what is righteous according to his righteous and perfect word. The gifts of life, our human lives, our work and lot in life, our children's lives. Number four, would you believe that God gives every living, loving, serving, believing, breathing Christian spiritual gifts that serve and edify others while glorifying our Heavenly Father? Peter said in Acts 2:38, to the new believers, he says, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you shall also receive, here it comes, then you shall also receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us spiritual gifts in our lives. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. You can read about them, these spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12. Long list of these gifts. They edify and help the people inside and outside this church. And they glorify God, whose Son is the head of the universal church. Ephesians 5, 23. I have got a list that is not fully inclusive, but it's rather interesting regarding these gifts. They are counsel, teaching, faith, preaching, serving, giving, comforting, evangelism, caring, helping each other to glorify our Heavenly Father. And God says this. He says, I give you life. I give you your work. I give you your lot in life. I've given you your children. There are gifts in your life, but now I need you to do this. Now I need you to take, as a believer, I need you to take this gift or gifts that I've given you, and I need you to use these gifts to impact all of these people's lives. That's a great gift. I don't know what your gifts are. Sometimes I question if I know what mine are. But I know this. I know that God gives every single saved, breathing, believing, loving, serving Christian at least one gift. Praise God that he gives us these gifts. But we're not limited to just these. In fact, listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say about this last gift of life that we list. It's found in Romans 6:23. Folks, if you have your Bibles today, I encourage you, open them up, turn to Romans 6:23, grab a pen, pencil, highlighter, nail polish, whatever it is you got in your purse or in your pocket, and I want you to check mark, highlight, underline this passage. Romans 6:23 is one powerful, moving passage. Here's what he says. He says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One of, if not, the greatest gift of life is eternal life. See, this is why he generously gave us all of these gifts. Life, our work, our lot in life, our children, our spiritual gifts that edify to and minister and help others. All of these gifts should allow us to have constant fellowship and union with him from earth to eternity. That's his purpose. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. He saves the best for last. You ever do that? We do that on birthdays. We start with the lamest gift. Open that up. It's so funny because our girls make homemade gifts. And they never value, I love my kids' homemade gifts more than any gift I could get. I love those. The homemade cards with the stick people that look like they're disjointed. You know, Dad, that's you. Really? It's so complimentary. But they always give us those gifts first because they think those don't matter. And they always say, and my kids are great about, they'll be like, let's see. Yeah, that'll be last because that's the biggest. But that's how we do it, right? We save the best for last. Whenever we're giving gifts to someone, like, open this first. You're not going to love it. But the last one will be great. That's what we do. Can you imagine that God does the same thing? I mean, he gave you life. He gave you your work, your lot in life. He gave you your children in life. Gave you your spiritual gifts to be used in this life. But he says, I've saved the best for last. You don't even know about this gift. You can't even imagine this gift. But I've got this gift waiting for you when you leave this life. He does it the same way we do it. He saves the best for last. How badly do we want this gift? How badly do we understand this gift? The living beings or angelic beings sung to our Lord in Revelation 4:11. And they said, O Lord, you are worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you have created all things. They were created and called into being by your act of will. He is the giver of the gifts of life. So how do we respond? How do you respond? How do you know now? What do you say now as you stand before that sliding door and you look and God says, you don't even know what's behind this door. You thought there was only one gift. There's a lot of gifts. How do we respond? What do we say? You ever spend a lot of time putting your thought and mind into a gift? You ever thought about that? We do that, don't we? Get excited for those that we love, putting together a great gift. We either spend a lot of money on it, a lot of time on building it, buying it, purchasing it, working it, creating it. And then, have you ever done this? And then when you're so excited, your heart's racing. I can't wait to give this gift. She's going to love it. And you say, I didn't spend much time or money on it. Here's the gift. And the whole time you're thinking, oh, man, I can't. She's going to flip. She's going to love it. And she opens the gift or he opens the gift. And they do this. They're like, that's great. Thanks. All right. So anyway, about tomorrow night, what are we going to do with the kids tomorrow? Have you ever had that happen to where someone just really doesn't appreciate the gift? Where they look at it like, I just don't see the value of the gift. But they don't even acknowledge you. It's the person who gave and spent so much time on the gift. Folks, you realize that's what we do with God every day. That's what we do with God every day. That's how we treat him. He says, I gave you life. I gave you your work. I gave you a lot in life. I've given you your kids. I've given you your spiritual gifts. I've reserved for you the ultimate gift, eternal life. And here's what we say. Yeah. I don't really care about it, God. We'll come back to it later. If you've ever given a gift that was not appreciated, do you remember how you felt? Imagine how God feels every day. Multiple times, every day, when we say, my life is horrible, despicable, awful, deplorable. I hate my work. I don't have a lot in life. I don't have any gifts. I have no use in this life. My kids are such a burden in this life. You know what you're saying? Hey, God, you just gave a bunch of bad gifts. You're the worst giver in the whole world. I'm not even going to say thank you. How do we respond to the giver of all the gifts of life? Listen to this, Psalm 107:1. Say thank you to the Lord for being so good, for always being so loving and kind. Thursday, I went back to work after being ill, and I walked up the ramp to Beck Memorial Home. Slowly, mind you. And I walked up that ramp, and there it was. It's the smell. There it is. And I just stopped, looking very weird. And I said, thank you, God. Right there. I didn't care what I was looking. Thank you, God, for this gift. It's a good smell. How do we respond? We say thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thank God for his son. His gift, too wonderful for words. Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we recognize him and thank him as the giver? So, Monday or Wednesday, the days kind of ran together. Or Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, I was sick on all those days. But anyway, so I was not feeling well. I was tired of laying in bed. You know how you get when you're sick. And so I slowly meandered with my full beard down to the, my girls were like, he lives. And I was like, hey, girls, just move out of the way. Dad's got to get to the recliner, go downstairs. And I sit in the recliner. This might have been Sunday, actually. And so I was watching TV. Earlier I said I think I was watching a Sylvester Stallone movie. That would not be unusual. But in this case, I think I was watching the golf tournament. And there was a commercial that came on. I was feeling horrible. Horrible. And I kicked the recliner back and I was watching. And there was a commercial that came on. I don't watch a lot of TV, so this was unusual for me to see this. But commercial came on. It was a Quicken Loans commercial. And the commercial was, and I'll take you through it. It's a little difficult to understand, but I'll take you through it. And it was started out with this dad holding this little girl. And she was crying and crying, and dad wiped the tears from the baby's eyes. And keep in mind, it's a Quicken Loan commercial about a new house. And so they just moved in the new house, and dad's holding the daughter, wiping the tears. And the next scene goes to the little girl riding a bicycle. And she falls off the bicycle, and she's crying. And dad runs up and puts her in his arms and hugs her and wipes her tears. And the next scene is a little girl playing softball. And she's now a little bit older, and she looks like they probably lost the game, and she's crying. And dad goes up and puts his arm around her and comforts her and consoles her. And then the next, now by this time, guys, it's I can feel, I'm like, oh no, it's coming. Oh no, I'm starting to cry. Hey, don't come down here. I'm sick. Just stay up there. And then the next scene, and it's a little girl getting ready to move away for college. They've loaded up the last suitcase, and dad's standing back there, and the little girl runs up. Now, I say little girl, she's in college. She runs up to the dad, and they just fall in each other's arms, and she and he are both sobbing. And at this point, I'm like, I mean, I have lost it. Jillian says, I've never seen you cry, nor will you ever. So anyway, so I'm sitting down, so I'm losing, and then the final scene is the dad and daughter at the wedding. And the dad and daughter are dancing, and the dad is like literally just sobbing in his daughter's arms. And I am like, literally, I'm like, gather yourself, you idiot. Can you look at yourself? This is a Quicken Loans commercial. And it worked. Well done, marketing department. You got me. I want to refinance now. But anyway, so the reason I bring this story up, because you're saying, well, what's that have to do with a gift? So I'm sitting here, and I'm sobbing, and I'm crying, and I'm thinking about homes and mortgages. And so this feeling comes over me. You know, you've been there. It's that feeling you can't describe. It's this feeling of warmth and comfort and power. And it enveloped me. And I literally am sitting there in the recliner, and it's like this sickness is just being pulled out of me. And I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it was. And at that point, I'm like, I don't feel like I have to go to the bathroom. I don't feel sick. And at that point in that chair with tears running down my eyes, I said, thank you, God, for this gift, for allowing me to see that you're still with me even when I feel terrible, that you've healed me, that you're helping me, that you're with me. And folks, that's what life is. It's a series of gifts. We are God's gifts of life. Our children are God's gifts that bless our lives, our personal and professional, our spiritual, our eternal life, all gifts from God. What are we doing with them? Are we exercising our human, legal, worldly, and oftentimes ungodly rights as we continue to live our selfish lives? Or are we attempting to live our lives using the gifts that He has given us righteously and thankfully and contentedly? The unsaved world defiantly says, I have the right to live my life the way I want. You want to know something? They're right, but it's not always righteous. The believer today must say this: my life is a gift, and it's full of gifts. And today I choose to live my life using these gifts to do what is righteous and to accomplish what God wants. Lori Howerton understands the gift of life. Every day now that Lori Howerton's life is extended, she understands the gift of life. Do we? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're struggling today, you say, you know what, my life, I need to figure out what these gifts are, come to the altar. We will pray with you. We got our prayer team here. We'll join you. Jeff and I will come down. We're going to pray with you. And God will help you to see that your life is a gift. Listen to the song that we are going to sing. I think it applies perfectly. Let's stand today. Let's sing this song together. Today we're reminded of that. And today we're reminded that we have been given a lot of gifts. And I pray today that we would see just how important and how vital these gifts are for the success of our family, our work, but especially and most importantly, our lives serving Jesus Christ. He gave you this gift. Now we're called to use it. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts, all of these gifts. Let us look at these gifts like little children on Christmas morning. Help us to see that you are greater than anyone or anything, that you give us these gifts to use to build up and strengthen your kingdom, that you use these gifts to give us life and to change lives and to build lives according to Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray today, go with us and fill us with the Holy Spirit that we may understand even better what these gifts are and how to use them. We thank you for this time together, and we pray that you'll help us to grow in your likeness and all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.